That's the song of the Christian people. The song of hallelujah is the cry of victory, the cry of a people who have been changed forever because of that first Easter day, that first day when all of history was changed. History that began, as Deidre read for us tonight, the opening poem of Scripture, that incredible declaration of who God is, a God of love, a God of perfect contentment within God's self, and yet a God who chose to bring out of, and the Hebrew calls it the tohu vabohu, the chaos all around, to bring order, to bring creation. When I mentioned that some months ago, when I was back in Nara, one of the parishioners there who was from Germany said that she was interested to hear what tohu vabohu meant, because it was a word that they used in Germany and Austria, and parents would often use that to describe the state of their teenagers' bedrooms, the chaos, the tohu vabohu was that state into which God wanted to bring order, to bring new life, to bring his energy. And God continued to pour himself out into his creation, the creation that is boundless and full of life and energy. And God continued to give that great gift until on the sixth day, when he created man and woman in his image and likeness. In the Imago Dei, God poured himself into us to be the highlight of creation. And the first commandment he gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. The first commandment of all of those that are found in the Scriptures is that, to be fruitful and multiply. And then across the pages of Scripture, as we begin to discover God's purpose and God's plan, it seems to begin to unravel with the first sin that we see in the third chapter of Genesis. And then that sin continues to grow and to become more wicked, to become even more deadly with the first murder, and then it continues into warfare and to the breakdown between families and peoples. And into that continuing experience of the tohu vabohu, that chaos, the Lord then speaks first his invitation to Abram to leave his family and to come to be his chosen people, to form a new nation, a new people. And so Abram responds to this call and he makes covenant with the Lord. And the Lord continues then to deal with his people and to bring out of all of the nations a chosen nation, a chosen people, a family first, and then a tribe, and then a nation, and then a kingdom. God continues to act, but of course things grow wrong along the way. And our third reading is, our second reading tonight, which is the reading from the book of Exodus, is this powerful declaration. When the people of Israel were lost in slavery in Egypt, the Lord appears to Moses now. And the Lord says to Moses, I have heard your cry. The Lord always hears the cry of the oppressed, the cry of those who are most desperately in need of the Lord's healing, of the Lord's freedom. And so the Lord speaks to Moses and he says, you will be my instrument. You will be the one that I have chosen to set my people free, to bring them out of that slavery of Egypt into the promised land. And so Moses begins to lead his people. And so the centuries come, generations come, they go. There continues to be great signs of fruitfulness and great signs of sin and disobedience and failure to live this promise and live this freedom that the Lord had called his people into. And so there is this then, the raising of a kingdom and the raising of a king. First we have Saul and then David, the great sign and the great line of all of those kings who would be faithful or attempt to be faithful to the Lord. Again, generations come, generations go, and we have then the building of the kingdom, the building of the temple that is the great place of worship of God. But within the spreading of just a few centuries, even that great work of Solomon, the great temple that was the dedication of the Lord and the very presence of God in his people, that was destroyed. that was utterly rejected and destroyed. And the people then went into exile, into the kingdom of Babylon. Again, centuries come and centuries go. And finally, on the dawn of this new horizon begins this new light to shine. For this baby is born, this little child who comes forth. And suddenly the shepherds and all those who are the nobodies in the world, those who are the downcast, begin to see something is new, something is different with the birth of this child. When he's 30, Jesus then begins to share his life and his teaching. He begins to demonstrate to his disciples and to the crowds that follow him that there is a new way of life. They don't have to live that same way anymore. They don't have to be caught in sin. They don't have to be caught in sickness. There is this new possibility that is opening up because of the presence of Jesus. But Jesus goes against the authorities. He speaks into the corruption of that day. And there is always a consequence of someone who speaks into corruption, who declares that there is a different way. There was a day when Jesus stood in front of the temple and he said to the people that were there, "Tear down this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "You must be out of your mind." That temple had been built after the time of exile, more than 500 years before. And for the last 46 years, King Herod had begun to beautify it and to consolidate it and to make it into one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, a building of gold and marble and stone, a building of incredible beauty. And they said, "How could you rebuild this in 3 days when it has taken 46 years to build it to the stage it is at now?" But Jesus said, "No, it's not this temple, it's not this church that is the most important thing." Jesus is trying to open their eyes to a new reality, to the temple that is inside every one of us, the temple that is the very presence of Jesus. Of course, we celebrated yesterday on Good Friday, that day when the Roman Empire won, that day when the kingdom of Satan won, that day when apparently the power of sin defeated the power of love, and that day that we as a Christian people are able to look upon that face and that figure dying on the cross for us. But that day is called good for a reason. That day, which was the 6th day of the week, that same day when God created man, when Pilate looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the man, behold the perfect example of what it is to be a human. See what it is for someone to actually give themselves so fully to truth, to goodness, to beauty, to compassion." This is the invitation that we have received. This is the invitation as a Christian people to be followers of the crucified one, followers of the one who gave himself, who stood against every form of corruption, who stood against everything that was against the kingdom of God. Because on the 3rd day, the day that we gather today to celebrate, the day that we experience in that richness and that fullness today, we are and we discover that we are people of the resurrection. The resurrection matters because it says that Jesus and God have not finished with this world. Resurrection matters because it says that all of the creation that began back in Genesis 1 will continue to be renewed, will continue to be fulfilled. God has not finished with the world. God has not dismissed the world. God has not judged the world. God will not destroy the world. God has said to us, he will make all things new. And the day of the resurrection, the day when Jesus burst forth in the glory of that resurrected body, he declared to us, "This is what your life will be about from here on." Resurrection shows to us that whenever we embark on a work of creation, whenever we act with compassion, whenever we create something that is beautiful, whenever we do something that is just, whenever we engage in a business that involves the sharing of wealth and ideas and truth, all of these things are signs of the resurrection. All of these things are signs of the new creation. All of these are signs of participating in the life of God. Because the world at times can seem very dark. The world at times can seem very depressed. The world at times can seem rather pointless. But the day of the resurrection shows to us that it's not. Whenever we see these signs, they're not just mere blips in this wider world of darkness. They are signs of new creation. They are signs of life. They're signs of the resurrection coming to life, bursting forth in our own world. This is the invitation of the resurrection. This is the invitation of what Jesus did for us on the cross, to enter into this, to embrace this, and to receive that fullness of life, and to allow that great grace of resurrection to change me, to change you, to change us into the people that God created us to be bearers of His image, to be bearers of His likeness, to be the very presence of God at work in our world. This is the invitation of the Christian people. This is the invitation of Easter, to be people who are changed by the resurrection, people of hope, people of life, people of justice, people of compassion, because Jesus lives. Indeed, He is risen.